From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Tossed Popcorn is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, I'm Liana Holston.
And I'm Sienna Jekyll.
And welcome to Tossed Popcorn, the podcast where two idiots watch every film on the AFI's 100 Greatest American Movies of All Time, the very slightly less racist 10th Anniversary Edition.
This podcast is a safe space for people who don't know anything about movies. Today, we're watching Schindler's List.
The list is life.
Number 8 on the AFI list. Warning, there will be spoilers about this film. Trigger warning, this movie is about the Holocaust, so expect a lot of discussion about racist violence and very intense anti-Semitism.
Hey, girl. How you doing?
I'm just going to start off with a little thing for all our listeners, because I know you guys are out there, you're listening, you're like, oh no, this is a comedy podcast, and now they're talking about a movie that's actually very profound and about a very intense, horrific event in history. We are going to be respectful about this. We're not going to be flippant about the subject matter, but there is a lot to talk about to prepare you for this film if you're thinking about seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Liana is giving this the weakest thumbs up.
Weakest thumbs up. That's exactly how I was going to phrase it.
This movie is undeniably hard to watch. So Your two friendly neighborhood idiots are here to help prepare you, guide you through, and give our take objectively on this very intense piece of cinema.
Cinema. Well, Sienna, should we start out with what we thought this film was going to be about?
Indeed.
Hey, Liana. It's Sienna. I am about to watch Schindler's List. I know it's about the Holocaust. I don't actually know more than that. Oh, well, like Schindler, okay, I learned about him in school, but I really, really actually don't remember what the list is. I know that he can save a number of Jews from concentration camps, but actually, I guess I do know about it. Hey, all right, that's what I predict. Gonna be sad. Let's go.
Gonna be sad.
First and foremost, I would like to apologize for how happy I sounded in that whole prediction.
All right, I've got mine pulled up.
Hi, Sienna. It's your podcast partner, Liana. I'm about to watch Schindler's List, and I think it's about the Holocaust. I think it's in black and white. I know it's very long. A list. So I am assuming maybe there's a list of people they have to save, try to help in some way. It might be one of those Hooray America films, which are always tough. And other than that, I just have a feeling it's going to be a bit of a downer of a Sunday for me. Mm-hmm. Okay, love you. Bye.
Yep. Accurate. Mm-hmm. Not much America in there, actually.
I love when America is not involved. Sienna, are you in a sort of headspace where you can give us a summary of this movie?
I am in the headspace for that.
Okay. And I will follow up with some historical context. So I'm right there with you.
Okay, good. Yes. So the summary, as I understood it, this movie, Schindler's List, it depicts the Holocaust. And it doesn't just show the concentration camp side of the Holocaust. It's the whole process of getting to the concentration camps. So we see as the Jewish population loses more and more rights, that eventually faces extreme violence and dehumanization at the hands of the German government during World War II. Oskar Schindler is a Nazi businessman who I guess takes advantage of this sort of wartime economy moment where there's this whole workforce.
Profiteer.
Oh, that's what he is. So there's this whole workforce who's losing rights and the German economy is all geared towards the war. And he makes a factory that makes soup pots. And then I guess later some weapons, and he brings in a bunch of Jewish employees through some loophole or something. At first he does it for profit. And then as the Holocaust goes on, he sees all this horrible mistreatment, blah, blah, blah. Then he eventually protects his employees for more altruistic reasons, I suppose, and ends up saving his employees from being murdered at Auschwitz.
Yeah.
The end.
Yep. That's the film. And just to launch right into this historical context section, very much a true story, which I actually didn't know about Oskar Schindler at all before watching this. And while watching, I was like, oh my God, is this a real dude? Lo and behold, he twas. So this film takes place during the Holocaust. It starts in roughly 1939, which is also when the German army occupied Poland. They set this movie in Krakow, and that's where the ghetto was established for Jews that they were forced to leave their homes and move into. That was established in March of 1941. And then in March of 1943, which we see in the film, is when they liquidated the ghetto, which meant that they cleared the Jewish residents completely out of it and transferred them to Plaszow. And I'm very sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, which was a labor and then later concentration camp. The liquidation of the ghetto was like extremely violent, very, very horrific. You see it in the film, and that's what happened in real life as well. The Plaszow concentration camp itself was established in 1942. Thousands of people were killed there, mostly by shooting, and eventually it was liberated by the Soviet army. But as the Soviet army approached from the east in 1944, the SS transferred prisoners from that concentration camp to other ones in Germany and Austria, including Auschwitz. The Soviets started liberating camps as they moved westward in the summer of 1944 and continued to do so through May of 1945. And finally, the final section here is about Oskar Schindler, the titular boy. He was born in 1908 in Moravia, which was the then province of Austro-Hungarian monarchy. He held Czechoslovak citizenship after Moravia incorporated into Czechoslovakia in 1918, moved to Krakow in October of 1939, following the German invasion of Poland. He bought this Jewish-owned enamel factory in Krakow and renamed it Deutsche Emalwarenfabrik, Oskar Schindler, and employed Jewish workers, as Sienna mentioned, and they lived in the nearby Krakow ghetto. And then after its liquidation, the concentration camp Plaszow. Schindler used bribes to ensure that the SS didn't deport his workers to other concentration or killing camps. And in October of 1944, which you see in the film, he moved this plant from Krakow to Brunlitz, which is in his hometown of Moravia, and he reopened it as an armaments factory specifically. And there was this list, or a few versions of a list, that was called Schindler's List of 1,200 Jewish prisoners that were needed to work in the new factory. And all of them were kept from being deported to other concentration camps, or were brought from other concentration camps to work in this factory, which was considered really a haven of nonviolence and non-killing. Schindler left that factory only on May 9th, 1945, after the Soviet soldiers had liberated the camp. He is credited with saving as many as 1,200 Jews during the Holocaust. He actually died in relative obscurity in 1974. His marriage fell apart and he had like a few failed businesses after the war. And nobody really knew about him until Thomas Keneally wrote a book in 1982 called Schindler's Ark, which was called Schindler's List in the US release. And then Spielberg made this 1993 movie based off that book of the same title. And just want to end this with the quote that they say at the end of the film when they give Oskar Schindler, when the Jews who worked in his factory give him a ring that has an engraving from the Talmud on it that says, "Whoever saves one life saves the world entire."
Wowee.
Wow.
It is really an amazing story.
An incredible story.
Yeah. I just first got to know the context in which you watched this movie.
Because
it matters, man.
Y'all, this was the worst weekend I've had in a while. On Friday, a man hurt my feelings.
Boo. Yeah, boo.
Very much. And then on Sunday, I had to watch the entirety of Schindler's List alone on my bed because I don't have a TV or a couch because I just moved. So that was my context. I was approaching it with a real already internal sadness and darkness, if you will. Mm-hmm. My laptop was turned at like a 45 degree angle away from me and I was turned away from it. And for much of the film, I was watching it with one eye closed, taking notes.
Because of the violence?
Because of all the violence. I was really nauseous the whole time. My hands were shaking by the end of the film and I was curled up in a little ball. And I have a little plush seal stuffed animal that I was hugging by the end. I also texted a friend and I was like, "Are you near my neighborhood? Because I need a hug." And she wasn't.
No!
I still have not gotten a hug since watching this movie.
Oh, I wish I could say that I'll give you one, but I can't do that. No, too far.
And, you know, eventually.
Someday.
That was my experience. How about you?
I watched it in two parts because it is 3 hours long. The first half I watched with a boy on a date. It just happened. It was like, oh, maybe we can get food.
Yo, what? It just happened? Oh no, we just ended up watching Schindler's List.
Well, I had to watch it. I'm like, I really need to start watching this at some point. And I'm busy tomorrow. So like, I need to figure out when I'm going to watch all of it. And so maybe I'll watch it tonight. And he's like, sure. Your podcast. Cool. And I tried to tell him. I tried so hard to express the fact that it wasn't going to be like a cute kind of like sad date movie. Like it's not The Notebook. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I've seen the Seinfeld episode about making out in Schindler's List. You can't make out in Schindler's List.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I agree.
You can't make out in Schindler's List. If you know, you know.
Could you imagine, like, in 1993, taking a first date to go see a movie and you pick Schindler's List?
My mom and dad have a story about this where they got a huge tub of popcorn to go see it and they just didn't touch it the entire time.
Yeah.
And then the second half, on Saturday, I went to a party.
Okay, social brag.
Social brag. First one since all of quarantine, whatever. Anyway, had alcohol. I'm 24. It's allowed.
I'm 24.
But the next day, oh my Lord, I was so hungover. I'm very embarrassed about this. I do not do lots of drinking or getting hungover, but I was that. And that was another context in which I watched this film.
Oh my God.
But boy, did it feel shameful to be watching Schindler's List with a hangover.
I think we watched this film in three of the worst sort of like emotional situations we could have. Well, now that we've done all that, shall we dive into our phone notes?
Let us dive.
I mean, you know what? I'll start with a hot take that I had at the beginning before everything really went to shit, which I thought I would look really good in this movie.
Like this was a good time period for you?
Let me contextualize.
Okay.
This was the scene early in the film when they're in sort of like a party room. And it's when Schindler first gets introduced and he's like bribing people and he's looking around. And there's women in 1940s like hair and dress. And that is the scene in which I think I really, because I very much, if you do my hair in the right way, I look like I'm from the past.
Yeah. So sort of you're talking about like the Nazi party, like the party with all the Nazis. This is the one. Yeah. You would fit into that time period for sure.
Okay.
The time period.
I have to tell you, my orthodontist once described me as exceptionally complicit. And I was like, don't say that.
Damn.
It's because I was doing a really good job of wearing my retainer. But I was why would you use those words?
Why not responsible? Dang. I do want to clarify for our listeners, really the first like 20 minutes of this movie is not yet disturbing.
No, it's very much setting up Schindler's fancy life and that he's a businessman and that he's doing deals with like officers, Nazi officers. So you see the glamorousness of his life before they contrast it with the ghetto and then the camps.
Right. Which is effective. It is an effective kind of surprise tone shift.
I remember I texted you at like minute 25 and I was like, please just tell me. Does it get violent?
Oh yeah. I was in a hangover recovery nap at that point. And I woke up just for a second and saw that. And I replied to you, very, and then went back to sleep.
You gave no comfort.
I fell immediately back asleep. I don't know how I woke up. Did you cry at any point in this film?
No,
this is a question I had.
No, that's a great question. I actually didn't cry at any point this weekend, which I really think I would have, except I'm on Zoloft, baby.
Okay.
Yeah. So, that medicine was doing its job and it was working hard to get me through this movie. I could see how you could cry.
I have thoughts about that, about the way that this film is effective and how it's different than I thought it was going to be. Hmm. I thought it was going to be depressing and sad, but more than that, it was gut-wrenching and disturbing. Yeah. I found myself gasping more than wanting to cry.
I really think it's a horror film.
Yeah, it does play like a horror film. It is very viscerally upsetting.
Yeah. And it's exacerbated so much by the fact that this all happened.
Yes.
And I also think the experience was made even harder by just knowing the history and knowing like, oh shit, it's only 1939. Like I know what's going to come next.
Right.
You see many times characters in the film saying like, it can't get worse than this. And that's when they're just moving into the ghetto in Krakow. And you're like, it's going to. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, how did you do, because I was worried for you throughout the film with all the on-screen text.
The reading? It was not great for me. It did not do great. They do. I'm so sorry for saying do-do in a podcast about Schindler's List. The film does have quite a bit of text kind of explaining the historical moment, and that just glided right past my eyes. I paused it a couple times and read it, but...
No, that was like pivotal context. Like you needed that.
The thing is, for those of us who can't ever take in the context, is like you don't even consider that to be context. Like if I'm never used to reading it, I don't even expect that I'm going to get any information. So a lot of the film for me is me trying to piece together what's going on.
Did they give you fun facts along the sidebar while you were watching?
The Amazon Prime pause button kept showing me the actors and stuff and blocking the text so I couldn't read it.
Okay, they would do that. For me, they were also giving little, like, quote unquote, fun facts about the film.
Was it about the war?
They had a whole section called Goofs, which was about continuity errors in Schindler's List. And I was like, I don't think we read the room when we were making this segment title.
Trivia.
Who is watching Schindler's List like, I hope there's a blooper reel.
Tell me about the Goofs. Feeling awkward about us reviewing Schindler's List on our comedy podcast? Well, lucky you, you have a break, because we got to read some ads.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
I did notice that there were some, I wrote bowler hat hotties at the first party.
Okay.
Because there were some women, some of the sexy ladies, and they were all in bowler hats, which I guess was like hat.
Oh, the dancers?
Yes.
That's the point at which I was like, I would look good in this film. Because I just really look good in hats as well.
You do look good in a hat.
I know. Thank you. It's that thing of looking like I'm from the past. I have to say, I was confused at which list was going to be the titular one for much of the film, because if there's one thing that the Nazis loved, it was making lists.
Oh, man. Absolutely. Yeah. There's so many lists. I mean, the Holocaust was all lists. Truly, that's like the dark, scary thing this film. It was so well organized.
Yeah. But as a result, I was like, is this the list? Are you my list? You know,
he also had several lists.
So many lists are involved.
At the very end, at the very end when he's actually paying for each of these workers. Yes. And I think that was the list.
No, yes. It took 2.5 hours to get to the titular list.
And I was like, oh, wait, this is Schindler's list? Schindler had like two other lists before this. Like, we had to watch him type them.
It'd be like if there was a movie called like The Horse, and then there were like 80 horses in it, and you'd be like, which is the horse?
Yeah,
which one? Horse is the horse?
I also will say again, like, I don't think it's bad if there's anything that anybody doesn't understand when watching any movie. So
I was confused during this film as well. So even though I read all of the historical context, I still was perplexed sometimes.
Here's one thing I really did not understand, and I hope you do. And if not, we'll cut it. Do you remember the guy in the church who gives him the shirts?
Yeah.
They kept talking about shoe polish. I didn't understand that guy at all. Who was that guy? How did he know to come into the church and be like, you know about shoe polish? You got shirts? I actually kind of forget what happened. But I remember being really confused, and it kept coming up for like the first 40 minutes, and I didn't know who this guy was.
Right. Well, I think they were trading goods illegally, sort of a black market trade occurrence is what you saw happening at the church, which is why he's Jewish, but he takes off his Star of David armband that they were forced to wear before he goes into the church. So he's pretending to be Christian so that they can do this dealing during mass. Okay. And Liam Neeson, he's a businessman. He's got his ear to the ground. He knows about these underground dealings. And I guess he knew that he would want to have Jewish people who were on the black market, like on his side or in his factory for his future dealings. Because then, remember when he had to make the big elaborate fruit basket?
Yes.
He got them to smuggle in goods.
That answers so much for me. Okay.
Oh, see, good.
Those are the little things. Because here's how I'm stupid about watching movies, is that I'm watching this and I'm like, how did he know from looking at this man that he would have shirts? But really what was happening was that we learned from this that Schindler is a businessman who has his ear to the ground, and learned from this that this character is a Jewish man who is involved with the black market. I got none of that from that. I was like,
wow.
What is it about him that gives off, I know how to get a shirt? All right, great. Okay.
It'd be very funny to have you, like, if Spielberg had sent you this script and was like, could you just give me your notes on it? You miss the point of every scene. You're like, wait, why is she in a red jacket? Like, it's filming black and white. I don't understand.
You know what? I was really confused about a lot of this movie. But it didn't even feel like it wasn't a deterrent for my appreciation of it, which is interesting.
That is powerful, because you usually are confused and don't enjoy as a result, or don't like.
Yeah, I'll be confused and then angry. This one, I felt I trusted it the whole time. I trusted that I was going to get there, and I really felt the horror. I felt a lot.
Yes.
I didn't think a lot. I did not understand a lot, but I felt a lot, and I could appreciate that.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, wow. I really didn't get any of that. yeah, the girl in the red jacket, so a brutal massacre at, it's a specific place.
Yeah, this is the liquidation of the Krakow ghetto in 1943 is when this is happening. So the Jews are being forced to leave and also just like arbitrarily shot on the way out. And this is when they were then transferred to Plaszow, the then labor camp, later concentration camp.
This is where the movie gets truly brutal, and this is where you're not holding hands with your date. Let me tell you that.
You are clutching a stuffed seal for dear life at this point.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Voldemort.
Okay.
This is, I mean, award for the worst villain in history.
Shit.
Holy. Who wrote this? Good job, screenwriter. Holy crap. No. Damn.
Fuck, dude. What is there to say? I literally didn't even write down notes about him. It was so horrific to watch all of his behavior.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah, so Voldemort, Ralph Fiennes plays,
AKA Tom Marvolo Riddle, Lord Voldemort.
Plays just, okay, his name is like Goeth.
Eamon Goth, I think it's pronounced, Goth? But I don't know.
He is just the worst, most heartless, ruthless,
despicable,
violent, just killing people for sport villain of all time. It is so scary. It is so blood chilling. Let's see. What's there to say? What's an example or anything?
Do we have to?
Yeah. He just straight up kills this woman who is trying to help as they're building a building. She comes up and she's like, I'm an engineer and this isn't going to work. And he kills her for saying that it's not going to work.
Well, we have to also specify he has her shot and then he says, okay, do what she said.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yes. So that's the kind of thing. It is really, really, really awful. I wrote about that character that I am pretty confident that this is the only female engineer that's going to be in any of the movies on this AFI list.
Honestly, yeah. This is the first and probably the last woman in STEM that we will see.
She is immediately killed and not listened to by a man. Killed because of her race and religion. Oh,
I have to say, please go ahead.
Just Schindler is on a horse for a minute. That's all. Go on.
Yeah, there were some surprise horses in this film. So the track record continues.
That's something to look out for as you're trying to get through this film.
Do you think maybe they assembled this list not by like the greatest American films of all time, but just like films that involved horses?
Of all time? Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
The 100 films that involved horses of all time.
Yeah, I do think that.
I strongly believe that.
Yes.
The maid / concubine that
Miss Honey.
Miss
Honey from Matilda, yes.
What? Oh my God, that is who she was.
Miss Honey from Matilda. Go on.
No, I don't think I do.
What about her?
No.
Yeah, Voldemort has a maid who is played by Miss Honey from Matilda.
Did you know that the whole time?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Wow. My head just got really hot. I don't know what to do.
I mean, actors are in other things.
No. Just what a contrast. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Because Matilda's like a childhood, a fun little girl doing magic, women in STEM. But...
Oh no. Yeah, Stark.
I don't even want to say the thing I was going to say. Oh, I will.
Yeah, you have to.
The scene where Schindler's talking to her in the basement and she's crying because her life is awful. And Schindler's, there's a moment where he like gives her a tissue and is like, hey. And I was like, he really is sort of doing that. No, don't cry. You're so sexy.
Yeah.
Like, he comforts her, and that's like, oh, okay. But then he's like, you're not going to die because he's too attracted to you.
Right, right, right. Don't worry. Oh, yeah. And when he kisses her on the head, he's like, don't worry. It's not that kind of kiss. Ugh. And she's like, thank you so much for not kissing me full on the mouth.
The bar is so low. Yeah. Thanks for not assaulting me.
And then we're all like, Schindler's a good guy.
Exactly.
Even though he assaults so many other women. Yeah.
I felt that same thing when he and Eamon, who's super, super drunk in the scene on his balcony, Schindler says, power is when we have every justification to kill and we don't. And I was like, once again, the bar for men is so low.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're saying like, oh, I'm really powerful and like, cool, because I didn't kill anyone.
Yeah. Oh, damn. That part where Voldemort tries to show mercy for like one
awful,
day
awful,
and he can't do it.
Awful.
God, this is a good movie, man. This movie. Oh, it is awful. And it is like, oh, it really makes you feel things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really makes you feel things. There's also a big sort of diversity of scenes, which is important for me to actually take a film in. If every scene looks a little different, that is really helpful for me. And that is true for this full 3 hours, which is impressive.
That's true. And even some scenes were intercut with each other. Editing term, boys. Some scenes were spliced together.
Boys.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, some scenes were spliced, edited, whatever, together, where it's showing like Schindler at a party and also like Jewish people in a concentration camp. So they do a very, very good job of... Also, one thing that happened was Schindler puts on a record at one point, and I think it plays a Billie Holiday song. And I was like, what a moment of contextualizing the war that we are doing. Because when you think about the Holocaust, I feel like it's very easy to think about it as it's like sort of an so isolated... far in the past, and also like... in its own bubble. Like, it's hard to remember that the whole world also existed at the same time.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. It just feels so far removed from reality.
Definitely.
And so that was, I don't know really how purposeful that was, but I thought it was a really effective way to be like, oh, and remember, like, Billie Holiday was a singer at this time or had been very popular, you know?
That's really true. Yeah.
Ugh.
And how did he make so many fruit baskets then? Because my understanding is that Schindler is powerful exclusively by giving people fruit baskets.
Well, this really reminded me of you, because you keep threatening to send people in our professional careers fruit baskets.
I do. I'm like, that person would be a good connection for our podcast. Let's send them a fruit basket.
And I'm like, Sienna, they haven't even replied to our email. Like, this is too much.
Once we get their address, I'm putting together a fruit basket.
What's a fruit like native to Seattle? What are you going to fill these baskets with?
Apple. The Cosmic Crisp, if you will. You can sponsor us, Cosmic Crisp.
Is that a brand?
It was crafted at Washington State University.
It was crafted? They crafted an apple?
They craft apples, yeah. They craft everything.
Did you know that I heard on a podcast from someone on the podcast who'd maybe like read an article that none of the apples we eat are from this year, or they're all like 14 months old.
What the hey?
I don't know enough. I regret bringing it up. I'm sorry. I'm out of information and I'm panicked. I gotta say, I did, with about 45 minutes left in the film, order cake to be delivered to my home.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really was like, there is no bouncing back from this with my day. Like, it is maybe 4 p.m. and my day cannot get better because of this film. So I will just have some cake nearby.
Did you eat the cake during the film?
No, because I was so nauseous. I couldn't. I don't think I ate the cake. No, I ate it very quickly after finishing the film while watching like a British comedy panel show, just to try to get some sort of like light into my life. Yeah.
That's really, really smart. I did not see Schindler as being just a really, really good person.
Mm-mm.
So much as a person who loved money more than he hated anyone just because they were Jewish, you know, or he didn't have a strong hatred for Jews as much as he had a real love for business. Also, this movie depicts like the bad business of war and mass genocide, you know? It was an interesting way of posing it, where there were just a few times where it was like, why would you kill your workforce though? Like, who is this benefiting?
Right.
It's going to hurt you and the economy. And that line really stuck with me when I think it was Voldemort who was like, oh wow, what a nice shirt. What a nice shirt you have on. And Schindler's like, oh, thanks. The guy who made it is probably dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just some really, really powerful ending. Holy shit, that's how you end a film. Like, this was so good. Because if you haven't seen it, what happens is everybody, like, the camp gets liberated and Sir Ben says generations because of what you did, which is like, holy shit. And then, like, the credits are about to roll, or they are rolling or something, but you see... Okay, you see the actors who played the characters, but you also see the actual, like, people from history who were in the factory or are descendants of the quote-unquote Schindler Jews. And it's, like, a whole bunch of people, and it says the Schindler Jews today. And it's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it was amazing.
You know, like, when a film is about a historical event and then just puts it, like, into your world in such an effective way, I was really very pleased. I had so many goosebumps.
And it pulled Wizard of Oz. It went from black and white to color.
Yes, which it does at the beginning. It goes from color to black and white, and then black and white back to color at the end.
What?
At the very beginning, when they first light the candle, it starts in color and then goes to black and white.
Okay. Well, I guess that's not as exciting then.
Okay. I thought it was good.
Oh, okay. It was exciting. Sort of a Wizard of Oz sandwich.
Now would be a good time to order yourself some cake, as I did during this. We'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Are you ready to head towards some badges and some trages for this film?
I am.
I've actually got a lot of badges, and not just because it was a long film.
Get going.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Kick it off. Take it away.
Wow.
Let's go.
All right. Oh, wow. In that moment where you were like pressuring me to talk about Miss Honey, that was a side of you I've not seen before. Just like, could see that I was struggling and was just like kicking me while I was down.
Yeah, get over it.
It's like how you said that you're like mean when you become, like when you have to do public speaking, you get really mean.
Yeah.
That is what happened.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm like. All right, there's a plan here. Come on.
Okay. All right. I will give a badge for the year and the month and the historical context given immediately at the top of a film. I was very grateful. I will give a badge for one single tear from Sir Benjamin as he accepts a drink. Do you remember this? He was like, I think I'll have that drink now, or better now than later.
Oh, God,
believes he's going to get deported.
And, that was moving.
Oh, that was acting. That is why he is a knighted man. I got to give a badge for dramatic lighting because, I mean, this is a cheekbone heavy podcast and we support dramatic lighting mm-hmm. here at Toss Popcorn. Mm-hmm. A little badge for Liam checking his privilege during that speech to the factory workers that was like, hey, I'm a member of the Nazi Party. Like, I'm a tall, white, German man. Like, my life's great. And like, was it the time or the place? Probably not. But he did it. And that is, it's progress.
I'm a special kind of white guy.
Is that what it's called? I got to give a badge for the acting in that final scene where Oskar and Itzhak are crying and he's like, I could have saved more people, which did not happen in real life, I don't think. But that was very good acting. I got a badge for America did not make an appearance really at all in this film. And I was like,
that's actually quite impressive for World War II.
Yeah, absolutely. Because all that we are taught in school is like, you know, some shit happened. Then we came in and fucking saved the day, bitch.
Yo.
Back-to-back World War champs, bro. And so I loved that that was not a feature at all. And the camp at the end gets liberated by Soviets, not Americans.
Okay, yeah. My badges are actually pretty general. Mostly, I'm just kind of saying, like, good. Like, very good movie. I thought it was just very well, I guess, directed. This was art. This was humans making art, you know. I don't know where they shot this, how they made it. It's a huge production.
Okay, what are your badges?
This is it. This is one.
Oh wow, they really were general. I'm so sorry.
No, they are. They're not as many cute little fun ones in this one, because I think I was taking it in as a piece of art itself, probably because I was afraid to be making little jokes. But and best villain award, I mean, really just like a just shithead of a villain.
Yeah.
Then trages.
Please kick it off.
My trages are kind of more like be aware when going in, because I don't want to say like this was bad. I think it was an effective film. But yes, on-screen reading does occur. Mm. There are a lot of boobs in this film, bro. Like, there were a lot of them.
Yep.
A lot of them.
Here's the thing, listener. This is actually a very good example of how we can distinguish between like boobs that further a plot line versus boobs that are unnecessary and were put in there because a man was in charge. And you see it in this film where the women who are sexualized and used as sex objects, the boobs are out and they do not need to be. There are ways of communicating that without having to show so much of these women.
We know. We get. You had sex.
Yeah. And I would say that an effective use of nudity in the film is when the Jewish prisoners are forced to like run naked during the exercise exam because that is like, it shows the sort of horrific and debasing nature of the treatment in these camps and is like historically accurate. Does that make sense?
Totally. Very well put. This film shows both versions.
Well, I will give a trage for this is the scene at church in mass when they are dealing items. I will give a trage for people talking during a presentation who I know are going to get shushed because I was like the pastor, the priest, the minister, whoever was giving the presentation at church, of course was going to hear them and was going to be like, guys, can you keep it down? And that gives me so much anxiety from my school days. And I was upset legitimately multiple times. Most of my trages are Spielberg can really fuck off with all the unnecessary boobs in this film.
Yeah.
And I also would say I have to give a trage for this film is so hard to watch. And you get to the end and they say the Germans have agreed to unconditional surrender. And you're like, oh my God, the war is over. Like, the suffering can stop, like the violence can stop. It has to stop. The crimes against humanity have to be over. And you think you're sort of in the clear and out of the woods. And then there's teeth getting pulled. And I was like, come on.
We were almost out of here. And then the way they give him a gift is by prying some gold teeth out of a man's mouth.
And it's, I get it. Like, you pull these gold teeth out and they melt them down to make Schindler a ring as a thank you for all the work that he had done to save so many Jewish people. But
he's happy. He doesn't even cry. He's smiling.
I was upset. I was crying. Yeah, that's my final tread.
Wow. Well,
we are going to help you out here with a segment called How to Pretend You've Seen This Film. This is for people who know that they can't stomach a lot of like visual horrors, want to be aware of the things that occurred, but just know that this is not like the avenue for you to learn about this subject matter. So here are some sentences that you can say if you're in a cinematic conversation and they're bringing up Schindler's List. I would say, you could say, I mean, talk about effective storytelling. The scene with the piano during the pogrom, true juxtaposition.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's up with a young boy being in charge of who gets to go in what line?
The little Nazi boy. Yeah.
I'd say introducing the concept of Auschwitz at hour 2.5 of a Holocaust film is a very fucking brutal reminder of how long the war was and how draining on humanity.
Schindler may have been a good person, but he really wasn't very good at business.
Or being a husband.
Oh, yeah. No, he wasn't a good person. He may have been not the worst Nazi,
yes,
but he was the worst husband and business owner.
Mm-hmm. I think that could be sort of a a log line for Schindler's List. Oscar, yeah. Schindler, not the worst Nazi. Let's move on to should you watch this or...
This is the time where we tell you if it's worth watching this movie or if instead you should do anything else.
Mm-hmm. I actually wrote this out while I was watching this film because I do think there's a way to experience this without watching this because I can never watch this movie again. I can't do it.
I think that's valuable. Go for it.
I would say instead of watching this film, you should read the history of this guy, Oscar Schindler. The United States Holocaust Memorial Museum has plenty of information on their website about him, about Krakow, about the entire timeline of World War II and the Holocaust specifically. So you should read a lot of that. And then you should play some nice music and you should go lie down in a field.
I, for the exact opposite reason, or the same reason, I think you should watch this film because I don't want to do reading. And this was actually an effective way to get my gears turning again about history. And I wanted to research stuff afterwards. So,
mm-hmm.
And I did enjoy, I appreciated the viewing of this one time. And then I would just say, in order to cope with this afterward, I think it's a really good idea that Liana had to order something so that you have something for afterward. You're not going to want to eat it during or enjoy it during, but afterward as you're decompressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to build out. If you're going to watch this film, you really do need to not have plans for the rest of the day because you need time to decompress from it.
I think maybe watch it at like 5 p.m., not so late that it's like you're going to go to bed at like midnight and have to like sit in your bed and be like, oh, but you have some time afterward to decompress, like go for a walk, eat a nice treat.
Yeah.
Have a smile at something else.
Have a smile.
And go to bed.
Sienna, what would you rate Schindler's List?
I have two ratings for this one because
I do as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I gave it a 5 out of 5 for deserving to be on this list.
Oh.
I didn't put it out of anything because this one is just a different rating system.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say that. In terms of, just the regular rating of like, do I want to watch this on like a Friday night movie? Mm-hmm. I give this a 2.8 out of 5 gold teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's all very fair. Mine are unbelievably similar. I would give it 5 historical contexts out of 5 for the actual historical story. I was really glad to have learned about it. And it really is an incredible tale worth telling.
Wow.
I would give it 2 pots out of 5 for a film experience. Because yes, I think it did a very effective job of communicating the horrors of the Holocaust. I also think if you make a film that is completely unwatchable, what is the point? Like, if I can't watch it, have I watched your film?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So there you go. That's a way to appreciate this film. It was a rough one to watch, as we know, and probably a rough one to listen to us talk about. I hope that this was pretty good for you guys.
Yeah. We really appreciate you listening to Tossed Popcorn. We've got a Twitter at Tossed Popcorn. We've got an Instagram at the same handle. Feel free to engage with our content, TM. Next week, we're going to be watching Vertigo.
Vertigo.
So get dizzy. Thank you. We love you.
Bye. You can find us on Instagram as at Sienna Jekyll and at Liana Holston. Please check the description for the spelling of our dumb names. We put out episodes every Tuesday, so make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. See you next week on Tossed Popcorn. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.